In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. This Christmas carol was written by Episcopalian musician John Hopkins Jr. in 1857 in Pennsylvania. For almost 100 years, this was thought to be the only American contribution to English language Christmas carols. It does have that unique plodding rhythm. It transports you to the top of a camel's hump as it sways back and forth, moving across the desert, following the star to Bethlehem. Now, we don't really think that the Magi were kings, although that idea has been floating around since the 3rd century. In fulfillment of Psalm 72:11, may all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. Around the 8th century, the names were attached to the three. They become known commonly as Balthasar, Melchior, and Gaspar, or Casper. According to the Western Church tradition, Balthasar is often represented as a king from Arabia, or sometimes Ethiopia. Melchior is a king of Persia, and Gaspar is a king of India. In many nations, January the 6th is celebrated as Three Kings Day. Three Kings is one of those traditions that assume a lot more detail than we actually have in the Bible. The Magi from the East are sort of a mystery. Who are they? Wizards? Astrologers, magicians. What do they really know about the one that they're seeking? How many are there? We don't really know. There are three gifts, but we're not sure how many Magi. We don't really know too much about the Magi, who often are called the three kings. What we do know for sure about this biblical account of the Magi is that there are two kings. We two kings of Israel are enemies in spiritual war. Two kings, both king of the Jews, Herod the Great and Jesus of Nazareth. One looks like a king, one does not. One wears royal robes and a crown, lives in a palace that he built himself in Jerusalem. One is a helpless young child living with his parents at someone else's house in Bethlehem due to a census ordered by Caesar. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One is powerful, protected by soldiers and secret police and 2,000 bodyguards. One is a small boy protected by his father, who is guided by angels who appear to him in his dreams. Two kings. Both king of the Jews. One pretends to be a Jew for political purposes. The other is the definitive Jew. All of Israel reduced to one. He fulfills what the children of Israel were unable to fulfill. He comes to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel and then grafts all nations into the root of Israel. Two kings. Both king of the Jews. One is a political appointee who is declared king of the Jews by the Roman Senate in 40 BC. One is a descendant of King David, who is declared heir to the throne by the archangel Gabriel and called king of the Jews by these mysterious magi from the east who follow the star to find the newborn king. He's not again called king of the Jews until questioned by Pontius Pilate, one of Herod the Great's successors. Pilate's soldiers mock Jesus by crowning him with thorns and dressing him in a robe and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Pilate has written on a sign above Jesus' head on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Two kings, both king of the Jews. The Magi bring one word, one king, word of the birth of the other king. Their message brings anxiety and fear to Herod and therefore to all Jerusalem. To the other king, the Magi bring gifts fit for a king: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One is paranoid, merciless, and bloodthirsty, willing to kill anyone who threatens his rule. He kills one of his wives and her sons, and anyone he thinks threatens him. He'll kill another of his sons before he dies. The other king is full of grace and mercy. He will heal the sick and raise the dead. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He gives himself into death in order to conquer death for all people. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One is an agent of Satan, the other is the Son of God. One seeks to do the devil's work of eliminating the newborn king of the Jews and orders all baby boys 2 years old and younger to be slaughtered in Bethlehem. The other is the Son of God, who will do his Father's will by being obedient to the law. He is baptized into the sin of the world and pays the price of those sins with his own suffering and death on the cross. Then he rises from the dead to crush the head of the devil. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One lives in a magnificent palace that he has built for himself there in Jerusalem. The other comes to that palace 30-some years later to face Roman authority. At that magnificent palace, the other king is beaten and mocked and whipped and sentenced to death in order to please the unruly crowd assembled by the Jewish religious leaders. They want to kill him so he doesn't mess up their relationship with Rome. Two kings, both king of the Jews. The chief priests and the scribes tell Herod that the Christ is to be born in Bethlehem, but they do not go with the Magi to see the Christ. They choose to stay with Herod the Great rather than meet the other king. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One, at great expense, rebuilds the temple in Jerusalem to be more glorious than ever, so his name will be remembered in history. One of the support walls of that temple still survives in place today, is known as the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem down below the Temple Mount. The other king later visits the temple. He clears it of those selling animals and changing money. He teaches in the temple. And upon his death, he tears the curtain in the temple in two from top to bottom. The separation between God and man is undone in Jesus. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One lies dead in his grave, buried at his Herodium fortress, 7.5 miles south of Jerusalem. The other's grave in Jerusalem is empty. Two kings, both king of the Jews. Who is the true king of the Jews? It is the unexpected one, the baby in Bethlehem who has to flee to Egypt. That is the true king. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One is temporary. He's a blip on the radar of history. The other is the eternal king of the Jews. Jesus is your king, who at your baptism adopted you as a child of God, an adopted son of Abraham. You have been grafted into the tree of Israel, and Jesus is your king. Jesus reigns. He rules not with force, not with 2,000 bodyguards, not by killing his opponents. Jesus rules in grace and mercy. Jesus rules in sacrificial service to his people. Jesus rules by paying the price for the sins of the world on the cross and conquering death by rising from the dead. Jesus rules by giving you forgiveness in his word to you. Jesus rules by giving you his own body and blood in Holy Communion. We learn from the Magi that things are not always as they appear. Water, word, bread, and wine. What we see with our eyes does not always show the whole truth. We two kings of Israel are enemies in spiritual war. Jesus wins the war. Jesus is the eternal King of the Jews. Herod the Great turns out not to be so great. He has been dead a very long time. And he's remembered not so much for his magnificent buildings, but the innocent blood on his hands from those Bethlehem boys. Jesus of Nazareth, the true and eternal King of the Jews, lives victoriously and is worshipped for having shed his blood to save you. Jesus is King. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.